This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, go to the Progressive Insurance Hotline, brought to you by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get a quote at Progressive.com today. Dan Shaughnessy joins us on the Boston Globe because Boston is a very successful sports city, as you may have heard. And right now, with two teams in their conference semifinals and already two championships in the books, we go to Dan Shaughnessy in Boston. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good. Dan, this is kind of a long time coming for me because I've been fascinated by the success of the city, and I'm curious in the length that Boston has experienced so much success with the Patriots and the Red Sox and the Bruins for Stanley Cup and the Celtics. What has it meant to a millennial, a young person, 20, 21 years old, to live in a city where there's parades all the time compared to years where some of the teams are known for some of their futility?
Well, it's a generation thing if you live there. I mean, the young people don't know what it is to wait. And older people like me say, oh, you young bucks don't understand what it was like and how we suffered and all that stuff. And I mean, you know, see, it depends on which side of the bar you were born on. I've got three adult children in their low 30s, and that's how they grew up. You know, the teams were good and they were winning, and now the parades are like ho-hum and another one. And you do lose track. And the Super Bowl thing has particularly become, you know, there's been nine of them with Brady and Belichick. And you start to say, well, wait, they played Philly in Jacksonville, and then they played Philly in somewhere else. And you just kind of, it's a little bit of a spoiled feeling to have that. Because in most cases, for Philly, they know exactly where those Super Bowls were because they only were in two of them. They won one and lost one.
In terms of Red Sox in particular, to have gone all of those years without a World Series, for people to go to grave sites of loved ones just to say, hey, we finally won one back in 2004. But when you talk to 50-year-olds compared to 20-year-olds, do 50-year-olds still know all about that and still wait for those to return, or do they forget all those? Because, my God, every time the Red Sox are in the World Series, they're winning.
Yeah, the bar is pretty high on that. It's like guys my age, and, you know, there's still the notion, oh, they'll blow it at the end, but a lot of that went away. I mean, they went 86 years between, and then in 04, which is now, you know, 15 years ago, they had this great comeback against the Yanks, and they win one, and they've won four in this century. So really, the expectation now is that good things will happen when they get to October instead of bad things, which is always the way we thought of it.
Dan, I spent 10 years in Denver, and it's clearly a Broncos town, and it's a Broncos town by 100 miles. I don't know if Boston is a particular town. Is it owned by a team and everyone else is there? Is it all four? How does Boston define itself?
Well, the winner's town right now, so that's, you have that. But I think that it's clear that the Patriots, they've got the base right now. There's no question about it because it's been, yeah, you know, like I said, nine Super Bowls, and it came on in 2001 and 2002, and they have a strong base of people that follow them year round. You know, shows like your own show here, and they dominate the talk there, and I understand that, but I think that, you know, the Bruins sell out every game, and there's a very devout fan base there that they attend every game and they follow every game, and they're probably fourth in terms of numbers, but very, very loyal fans that have been there a long time, and they're having their good moments now. The baseball thing never goes out of season, never goes out of style. It's a year-round coverage. There's a lot in the printed outlets or now the online outlets. There's still a lot of coverage of that team, a lot of people in the locker room and stuff like that. But they don't generate as much on talk radio because it's a slow sport that young people aren't as driven, and their demographic is not what the talk radio is looking for.
Dan, obviously every sport does its business differently in how it constructs winning teams and how it constructs the draft and all of that. But has any team influenced the another team? Is winning infectious in the city? Has other teams looked and said, we got to do something, or we got to model something after what other teams are doing? Or is that just impossible to do given the dynamics of the sports?
Yeah, they're all different. But I think that the Patriot thing, you know, has been a good model. The Celtic thing was a good model when I grew up in the 60s. Because, you know, they were a team above self, and they'd never had the scoring champ, and they won every year, and they all got along, and it was a real. It's what coaches taught in the region. I think the Patriots are that now, where, you know, again, you've got next man up and no days off, and all that those themes they have, and the fact that they win, you know, they take players that are off the scrap heap or unknown elsewhere, and they make them into good role players and stars here, and they have guys playing offense and defense, and you know, the whole mantra that Belichick puts with it's the system, it's not the stars, and that sells well in the region with the base and with young people and with coaches and teachers and like that sort of thing. It's kind of like the Patriot way, be like that.
So we got two teams left that are in the postseason, as I mentioned earlier, in the conference semifinals. Let's start with the Celtics. That game against Milwaukee, fantastic defense. Assess where they are right now in terms of where the East is en route to possibly a finals run.
Well, I'm in Milwaukee with them, and of course they play again tonight, and that was the biggest beating of the year for the Bucks this year. They won 60 games and came in kind of as the flavor of the month here, but anybody who saw that game, it was a wake-up call. If you haven't been paying attention, that the Celtics are serious contenders in the East, which is what we all thought they were in September before they had this uneven kind of, you know, not pretty season and took time off during the regular season. Wasn't enough minutes for different guys. Jaylen Brown called it a toxic environment at one point. They got the whole Kyrie Irving, is he leaving, is he not leaving thing going on. But if you watch them against the Bucks, and they're now 5-0 in the playoffs going in tonight, they have as much as anybody in the Eastern Conference. You do not want to play them, and that would stand for Philly and Toronto as well.
In terms of the up-and-down season, how would you define what the Celtics are? How do they play? What is their strength? In terms of people who say, listen, so they were hard to follow this year outside of Boston. I want to know what I'm seeing when I watch game two.
Well, they have a lot of talent. I mean, Irving is, you know, one of the top number of guards in the league, and he's won a championship, and he does rise to the big games. He did it in Cleveland. He's doing it here. Haywood's playing much better off the bench, much closer to what they thought they were getting 2 years ago. Brown and Tatum look like guys who get a little bit more jazzed up in the playoffs. Horford shut down Giannis the other night, I mean, with a lot of help, and Stevens, they sealed off the paint to him, and they have, you know, Morris, Baines, they're deep, and they can come at you with different looks and different talents, and they're a dangerous team right now.
Let's go to the Bruins and the overall NHL. Now, I don't follow the NHL as well as I do the other sports, but this wide openness of the postseason with all the division winners out, obviously, I think it just makes Boston as legitimately good as anybody else. They had 100 points during the season. But where are they, and what is their strength in terms of the rest of the route?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, what happened to hockey in the first round was the opposite of basketball, where all the good teams got knocked off, and a lot of them, I should say. And the Bruins are the best team still standing in terms of regular season. They scored more points than anybody that's still in the tournament. So they are de facto favorites to win the Stanley Cup. And it doesn't mean they're likely to, but they have a better chance than the other seven at this point. So, and again, they're looking at Columbus and then either the Islanders or, I forgot, Hurricanes who are 2-0. So the field is there for them. The path is there for them. And they have a good combination of youth and experience. You know, Bergeron, Marchand, you know, Krejci, those guys were there when they won in 2011. They were also in the finals in 2013. And Tuukka Rask was there for that. So, and then they've got a posse of young stars who've just come up and new to the league. I think they can get outskated, and fast young teams can make them look a little bit old. But they're very much a threat. And you know, hockey, the famous hot goalie, and whoever's playing well at the time, home ice doesn't mean that much in that sport. So it's wide open for them.
Is that wide openness good for the NHL? In the NBA, we kind of look at the better teams and kind of want them to meet up. We wanted the Rockets and Warriors, for example. But in the NHL, this wide openness, is it good for the league? It creates talking points, but the better teams are gone. Some of the better teams are gone.
Well, sure. If you look at the top 15 selling sweaters in the NHL, there's only two of those players still skating.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Ovechkin, Crosby, all those guys are gone. Stamkos, Tampa's gone with that great team. That cannot be a good thing for their fledgling television ratings and attempts to become one of the four major sports. It's just they're always going to be the stepchild in that area. And the wide openness, which is so pure and so great, is not good for television matchups down the road, because you got a chance for some really anonymous franchises that no one wants to watch on television.
Excellent stuff. Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe on our Progressive Insurance Hotline. Thank you so much for joining us on a busy day for the Celtics. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, man.
You got it. That's good stuff. I like good stuff. Dan is really knowledgeable. It's like the encyclopedia of Boston sports. Like, really gets it. But it's interesting, because when I lived in New Hampshire, it was a Red Sox town. And he's talked about the Patriots now. It seems like more towns, it's more cities, I shouldn't say towns, more cities are becoming more football oriented.
Yeah, well, that's
like
and he alluded to that. He said baseball never goes out of style. It never goes away. It's seasonal, but it just doesn't drive the needle as much as NFL.
It does. And that's it's really amazing when you go, like, you can go to these cities where Cleveland is a perfect example of this. A friend of mine who works out there, Jonathan, he tells me, listen, the Cavaliers had LeBron James, right? The Indians are playing in the World Series. It's the Browns.
Yep.
It's the Browns that move the needle, right? It always is that way. It doesn't matter how bad your NFL team is. In fact, if your NFL team is bad, it probably moves the needle more, because there's probably more passion, more outrage, more anger. Because there's some of these cities, they're just not apathetic about their NFL team. They might be apathetic about your NHL team, right? Because the NHL, unfortunately, still grabs a certain audience, but then there's just a certain audience that just doesn't want to get it and doesn't really care. It's not part of their life growing up, and they may jump on a bandwagon, but listen, they ain't going in January unless you invite them with a free ticket.
I mean, you think about it. LeBron brought a title to that city.
Title to the city.
That lasted them maybe 2 days.
Yep.
You know, they had the parade, woohoo, and then as soon as the parade's over, all right, Browns training camp, let's go.
Exactly, and that's where the NFL is.
Let that fever rub off.
I never thought it would happen to Boston, given how much the Red Sox were important. I mean, again, like the 2004 World Series, listen to the stories of people who were like, I had to go to the graves of my dad. I had to go to the grave of my grandfather. I had to share it. It was just weird. It was creepy. But I went in the middle of the night and I just had a beer at my dad's gravestone. And I said, they did it, Dad. They did it. Like, those stories were plentiful. There was one story I remember of a guy who told us, and it was like an HBO special. And he was talking about his story. And he said, listen, they won the World Series in 2004. He goes, and I just got so emotional because my dad took me to all these games when I was a kid growing up, and he had passed away and he didn't get to see it. And I went to the cemetery and I found his grave, and it was in the middle of the night, and I snuck in. I had to climb through the gate, and I got through the gate, and I went to my dad's cemetery, and I just sat there, and it was the middle of the night, and I just said, Dad, they did it. I can't believe they did it. I just wanted to be here, share it with you. They did it. And he goes, I see this cop car and it's rolling through, and he sees me and he gets out, and I go, all right, I'm sorry, officer. I just had to do this. I don't know what to say. I had to come here. I'm sorry I broke in and whatnot. And the cop goes, no, I just wanted to check if you're okay, buddy. They're all here. And he just pointed to this hillside, and there were just all these people in the middle of the night. They were all at these gravesites of loved ones. That's missing now. Like, that doesn't exist in any of the sports. There's no more of that in the city of Boston. There's no more. Are we ever going to win a Super Bowl? We just don't have the organization that can win Super Bowls. And now they've won, six, right? I mean, they've been to nine. It's remarkable. The Celtics were always winning. That's different. But to go generations without a World Series, and then boom, there's a generation that gets four of them. There's a generation that the Patriots back in the AFL days. We ever going to win a championship? We're not very good. We're not great. Even when we went to the Super Bowl, we got slaughtered. We don't have a really good quarterback. We don't have good coaches. Boom, they have six. Is a generation that wakes up one morning and there's six Vince Lombardi trophies in their lap. It's just bizarre. It's something I never envisioned, but the Patriots have taken over that city, and because they got the ball rolling first. I mean, they started this whole thing back in 2002. All right, we'll come back. It's SB Nation AM.